Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Through the Bible. We're going from Genesis to Revelation and one chapter, one book at a time. And we're doing it in chronological order as it happened, not as it was written. Because the Bible is written the longest book to the shortest book. And so what I do, I have a chronological Bible written in the order that it happened, not from biggest book to the smallest book. So today we're in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy's a great book. You got to read it out of a New Living Translation or something slick, the NIV, because the King James, you get buried. There's so many these and thous. And so I like the New Living Translation. It's my favorite. I've not left the King James. I still study it, but I don't speak it. So today we're in Deuteronomy 23, talking about regulations concerning worship. God had an opinion about everything. So this is the rules and regulations about worship. So chapter 23, verse 1. If a man's testicles are crushed, or his penis is cut off, he may not be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. If a person is illegitimate by birth, neither he nor his descendants for 10 generations be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. No Amorite, no Moabite, nor any of their descendants for 10 generations may be admitted in the assembly of the Lord. These nations did not welcome you with food or water when you came out of Egypt. Instead, they hired Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor, to come and curse you. But God, the Lord your God, refused to listen to Balaam. He turned the intended curse into a blessing. And because the Lord your God loves you, as long as you live, you must not promote the welfare or prosperity of the Amorites or the Moabites. Do not detest the Edomites or the Egyptians, because the Edomites are your relatives, and you lived as foreigners among the Egyptians. The third generation of Edomites and the Egyptians may enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, this is some tough rules, so just hang with me here just a little bit. Verse 9. When you go to war against your enemies, be sure to stay away from anything that is impure. Any man who becomes ceremonially defiled must become, because of a nocturnal emission, you must leave the camp and stay away all day. Toward the evening, he's got this very detail. Toward the evening, he must bathe himself, and at sunset, he may return to the camp. You must have a designated area outside the camp where you can go and relieve yourself. Each of you must have a spade as part of your equipment. Whenever you relieve yourself, dig a hole with a spade and cover the excrement. The camp must be holy, for the Lord your God moves around in your camp to protect you and defeat your enemies. He must not see any shameful thing among you, or he will turn away from you. I bet you never knew that was in the Bible. If slaves should escape from their masters and take refuge with you, you must not hand them back over to the masters. Let them live among you in any town they choose. Do not oppress them. No Israelite, neither man or woman, may become a temple prostitute. When you are bringing your offering to fulfill a vow, you must not bring to the house of the Lord or your God any offering from the earrings of a prostitute, whether man or woman, for both are detestable to the Lord your God. Do not charge interest on the loans you make to a fellow Israelite, whether the loan money or food or anything else. You may charge interest to foreigners, but you may not charge interest to Israelites, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land where you're about to occupy. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling it, whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill your vows, all your vows, or you'll be guilty of sin. However, if it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow, but once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord your God. When you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may not eat your fill of grapes, but you must, and you must not carry away them in a basket. And when you enter your neighbor's field of grain, you may pluck the heads of grain with your hand, but you must not harvest it with a sickle. Chapter 24, verse 1. Suppose a man marries a woman. She does not please him. having divorced something, having discovered something wrong with her. He writes a document of divorce and hands it to her, sends her away from his house. When she leaves his house, she is free to marry another man. But if the second husband also turns against her, or writes a document of divorce, hands it to her, and sends her away, or he dies, the first husband may not marry her again, for she has been defiled. This would be detestable to the Lord. You must not bring upon the land your God that God's given you this special possession. Now, verse 5. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or given any other special responsibility, but he must be free to spend 1 year at home and bring happiness to the wife he is married. So newlyweds were not allowed to go to war. Well, Jude, I got married today. Well, then you will not go to war for at least a year. You're going to be free to stay at home and cheer up the wife you have taken. I can't get into all that right now, but it's real good. It is wrong to take a set of millstones or even just the upper millstone as your security for a loan, for the owner uses it to make a living. If anyone kidnaps a fellow Israelite and treats him as a slave or sells him or kidnaps somebody, the kidnapper must die. In this way, you will purge evil from among you. In all cases involving serious skin diseases, be careful to follow the instructions of the Levitical priests. Obey all the commands I'm giving you. Remember that the Lord your God did to Miriam when you were coming out of Egypt. If you lend anything to your neighbor, do not enter his house or pick up the item he is giving as security. You must wait outside while he goes in and brings it to you. If your neighbor is poor and gives you his cloak as security for a loan, do not keep the cloak overnight. Return the cloak to the owner by sunset so he can stay warm through the night and bless you. Then the Lord your God will count you as righteous. Never take advantage of the poor and destitute laborers when there are fellow Israelites or foreigners living in your towns. You must pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor. They're counting on it. If you see him, oh, we can get into some stuff on this. If you don't, they might cry to the Lord against you, and it will be counted against you as sin. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor the children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you as orphans. You must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. Always remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, that the Lord your God redeemed you from slavery. That is why you've been given this command. When you are harvesting your crops, forget to bring a bundle of grain from your field. Don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. Then the Lord God will bless you for all you do. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines that are picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. Remember that you were once slaves yourself in Egypt. That is why I'm giving you this command. God is so detailed. He said, listen, don't ever pluck everything. Don't pluck every grape. Don't pluck every piece of wheat. Leave it for those who don't have as much. Can you see the heart of God? People said, what is that? Well, God takes care of the poor. God takes care of the widows. God takes care of the foreigners. It's incredible what he was thinking. So in chapter 25, verse 1, suppose two people take a dispute to court, and the judge declared that one is right and the other is wrong. If the person in the wrong is sentenced to be flogged, the judge must command him to lie down to be beaten in his presence with the number of lashes appropriate for the crime, but never given more than 40 lashes. More than 40 lashes would publicly humiliate your neighbor. You must not muzzle an ox or keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. With two brothers living together on the same property, and the one dies without a son, the widow may not be married to anyone outside the family. Instead, the husband's brother should marry her, have intercourse with her, and fulfill the duties of her brother-in-law. The first son she bears unto him will be considered the son of the dead brother, so that the name will not be forgotten in Israel. But if the man refuses to marry his brother's widow, he must go out of town and say to the elders assembled there, my husband's brother refuses to preserve my brother's name in law in Israel. He refuses to fulfill the duties of their brother-in-law for marrying me. The elders of the town will then be summon him to talk to him. If he still refuses to say yes, I don't want to marry her, the widow must walk over to him in the presence of the elders, pull a sandal from her foot, and spit it in his face. It just gets real. This is what happened to Obed. So we have a whole other chapter on this thing. It refused to provide the brother with children. Even afterward in Israel, the family will be referred to as the family of the man whose sandal was pulled off. If any Israelite men get into a fight, and the wife of one refuses to rescue her husband, or grabbing him by the testicles of the other man, you must cut off her hand. Show no pity. You must use an accurate scale when you weigh out merchandise. You must feel honest measures. Don't cheat. You will always use honest weights and measures so that you enjoy a long life in the land that God has given you. All who cheat with dishonest weights and measures are detestable to the Lord your God. Never forget what the Amalekites did to you when you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted, when you were weary, and they struck down those who were struggling behind. They had no fear of God. Therefore, when your enemies in the land God has given you special permission, you must destroy the Amalekites and erase their memory from under heaven. Never forget this. Oh, God has hard rules. So this group of people that were against the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, God said, I want you to destroy them, every one of them. We're going to take their name off the face of the planet. Now, I remember when I was doing this, 40 years ago, to them high school kids, every chapter, every day, you have to understand, we did this 171 days a year. 171 days, 9 months out of the year, they had this class, 50 minutes a day. And it was just, you can just see the astonished look on their faces. It's like, what kind of God are we serving? A righteous God, a good God, a God that sent his son to earth to die for mankind with no guarantee that they would love God back. God made us free will creatures. He said, I set forth life, death, blessed, curse. You choose, but God's watching. There are recording angels that record every idle deed and every idle thought. Even when I think something, you think, well, nobody knows what I thought. God does, and an angel just wrote it down. That's why the Bible says, think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, the good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those other things. God is a honest, good God. And so you got to watch when you go through this. You don't get caught up in one chapter. Man, God's mean. God's mad. No, God's good all the time. God's good. But he's got certain things he expects of us. So let's get in the Word of God. Let's find out what it is. And let's just do what's right. And let's live a long, prosperous, happy life. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. And we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.